Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how on earth I am still single, even though you could smack my butt, call me a little anchor. I'll say, thank you, I liked it, that's for me. I think I probably used that one already. Let me come up with a different one. Okay, even though you could fill a chicken pot pie up with cum, I'll still eat it. Oh no, my guest today. My guest today is a hilarious comedian and writer who's written for, oh my God, Raven's Home, and is credited for writing Disney Channel's first ever live-action trans character. You can see her on Alan Cumming's new stand-up special, A Queer Comedy Extravaganza, now streaming on Showtime. And you can see her all around L.A. I have, and I think my guest is very, very funny, so I'm very excited to introduce Nori.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Hi. Thank you for doing this. I am fully out of sorts. I woke up just like, okay, so I went to Disney earlier this week because I'm now a Disney adult. Just kidding. I would never. That's sick. But I... I went for my birthday and I walked 13,000 steps and my fat little body's not used to that. It's not used to it. It broke down. It said, I'm sorry, Nicole, no more. We cannot do it. So I just like, I've been tired every morning since I've been to Disney because my body is not used to moving that much.
That's the most relatable thing I've ever heard in my life. Story of my life. I just moved into a new apartment and all the physical parts of moving and like my fat body was like, you're crazy. You're crazy for this.
Wait, did you move by yourself?
I had movers for the day, but all the other things like the putting together furniture and like the sub, you know, moving stuff after and like picking up. I do Facebook Marketplace.
Ooh.
I know.
No, people find fantastic things on Facebook Marketplace.
You will meet the worst people you will ever meet in your life through Facebook Marketplace. Like the most insane, unhinged people, but the deals are good.
That's very funny. It's like you deal with the crazy, the little wild people, but the deals, ooh, the deals.
What's the weirdest interaction you've had with a person from Facebook Market?
Easy. I sold my couch in my previous apartment, and this guy was like, oh, I'll come pick it up tomorrow. And I was like, perfect. Amazing. So he comes to pick it up. He's about a cool 16, 17. And he comes in and he's like, hey, this is the couch. And like walks over to the couch. He starts to like knock on it, kind of like listen to it. He starts to thump it a little bit. And he's like, oh, sorry about it. I'm a couch flipper. So if you could just give me a few moments, I'm going to see if this is a couch I want to flip. And he molested that couch. Like,
oh,
he
no.
was with the hand, he was groping it. It was great. He stopped halfway through to call his mom, who he flips couches with.
Uh-huh.
And then they spoke. He was very quiet and whispering, came back, tried to play hardball or something. At this point, it had been 15 to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was livid in my own home. And at that point, he goes, how low can you go? And I said, you have to get out of my house. I said, you literally have to leave right now. And then he left.
You didn't sell him the couch?
No, because I think it was a game. It might have been a kink. I don't know. It was so strange the way he was touching that couch. I didn't like it.
What a funny kink to have. I love it. What do you do to get off? Oh, I just, you know, touch couches in front of people.
I pretend I'm going to get a couch and then I grope it in front of the person who thinks that their couch is getting sold. it was wild.
That's very funny. I love it. When I moved, so I bought a house in a couple, like a while ago, years and years and years ago. And I moved from an apartment to this house and I put all my stuff in trash bags because I was like, why would I put it in a box?
Yeah.
Like, it's all going to just get unpacked and it's not going that far. And the movers were really judgmental about my bag situation. It was very rude. I was like, how dare you judge me on how I move? And at one point they were like, they just had like lots of questions for me. And I was like, I'm not here for this. This is rude. Leave me alone.
This is a service.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You can't just, you know, judge somebody.
I agree. Movers are not supposed to be judgmental.
That's what I think. I think it's like you just do the job, you know? You don't have to ask questions. When I worked at Lane Bryant, I never said, why are you buying these ugly pants? I rang them up and I put them in a bag.
Did you ever say that once, though? Just once?
No.
No.
But this woman did try to return, not try, she successfully returned pantyhose with period stains in them.
Oh.
I said, I'm sorry, I cannot take this back. And she said, let me see your manager. And I said, all right. This is truly above my pay grade. I get $7.50. Whatever. And then Miss Norma took the pantyhose back. And then she said, okay, Nicole, bag them and tag them because you had to tag damaged stuff. And I was like, you want me to touch this woman's disgusting pantyhose? I said this while the woman was standing there. And she was like, So I made a very big production of putting a bag on my hand like I was picking up dog shit, picked up the pantyhose and like really presented to her that I was not touching them. And then when I bag or tag them, she was still there. I was like, do I write that they're stained with this woman's period? I was like, okay, you can have what you want, but I will embarrass you.
Absolutely.
That is the only time I've embarrassed somebody at when I was supposed to be doing a job.
Absolutely. I think that's fair. That sounds very fair.
Nori, thank you so much. Wait, what kind of jobs have you had before you got into comedy?
Oh, my God. I've worked in every... Okay, my first job, I was a dishwasher at a barbecue restaurant
in
Christian County, Kentucky. And the restaurant was called The Woodshed. And
Christian County.
They called me Ching Chong, okay? They wrote it on my checks. And I was 15.
Wait, they wrote it on your checks?
Yes.
But how do you...
Oh, okay. Sorry.
How do you cash this check?
I'm so sorry. There were no checks on the envelope where I would get the cash.
Oh.
They would write on it was those little tiny pocket little manila. Do you know those manila folders as if they were shrunk down and then people put money?
For drugs.
Drugs and money. They would write Ching Chong on it.
That is the meanest thing I have ever heard. Christian County, you better do better.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But the best story I ever heard was the owner, George W. Bush, during his second election, came through Christian County, and the woodshed was an institution, so he went there to eat. And the owner was so excited. He was like, you know, obviously, like, this is amazing because they're all Republican and stuff. Mm-hmm. He gave George W. Bush a barbecue sandwich, and then George W. Bush went, no, I'm not eating that. I'll have a Diet Coke. And that year, the owner voted for the Democratic presidential candidate.
That's pretty fucking funny.
He was so angry.
He wanted a Diet Coke at my barbecue place. Oh, yes. Democratic. People are petty.
People are petty. And if that's what it takes to get the vote changed, that's great. But I did it for the PacSun. You know what I mean? I was addicted to PacSun.
Like the store?
Yeah, I wanted to be like a skater boy. Oh,
I see.
I didn't skate or anything, but I just wanted to look like it.
I feel like a lot of people really wanted to look like skaters who had no intentions of skating.
Yeah.
I mean, I wore JNCOs, and I don't think JNCOs were for people who didn't. Those are for skaters too, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
The devastating thing was I wanted those big, dumb bell bottoms, but they didn't make it in my fat ass size, so I had to wear the men's JNCOs.
Hell yeah.
Which were very tight, very hard to walk in, but, you know, she did it.
I wore like a pink, I had a Volcom shirt that was pink, and, you know, I was very closeted at the time, and because it was like a skater shirt, I could wear the pink, and so it made me like I could, like, you know, if like boys were like, you're gay, I could be like, it's Volcom. So you're gay, actually.
Honestly, what a fantastic way to combat somebody trying to make fun of your sexual orientation. It's like, yeah, well, it's a cool shirt. So, like, I guess you're the gay one because you don't understand shit.
Yeah. So you're the.
Mm-hmm. I wonder when that's going to go away, when people stop using gay as like, oh, you're gay, you know? Like, why? I want it to be like, are you gay? You don't gotta tell me. You know what I mean?
Well, Hillary Duff famously did those commercials. Oh, and I thought, yes, she fixed it.
She fixed homophobia.
She cured it. Oh
my God, those big old teeth said, hey, hate stops here.
Yes.
I love her big teeth. They make me so happy. Sometimes I think about getting big old teeth, but the way you get them is they shave down your teeth into little baby shark teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, there's that. And then also when you get the new teeth, they can come out a little chiclety even the good ones can be kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've seen, like, good teeth. Like, I haven't, it's not like I'm going to be like, they're all terrible. I've seen good ones. But, like, boy, oh, boy, some of them are real tough to look at.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that?
No.
Okay.
I like teeth that are imperfect. I think that it makes me happy when someone has, like, crooked teeth or a gap, or like, I think it's kind of cool. Like, it's very French that way. I don't know.
I also really like crooked teeth. I mean, my teeth are pretty straight. I do have a little bit of an overbite. I never slept with my retainer, but like, sometimes I wish I had a gap or something that was interesting. Like, Madonna's gap is iconic. Like, you wouldn't want her to close that gap. I think we need to embrace our differences. Like, I wish.
Amen.
But also, it's like, if you want perfect straight teeth, go fucking get them. I don't care. But
I can see on this Zoom, I can see that you have incredible teeth.
Thank you.
They're like very, very nice.
Thank you. It is a facade because I have to have another root canal. So here's a little history about me and my fucking teeth, Nori. So I went to the dentist on the regular, and then my mommy died. And then I said, I don't know how to take care of myself. So then I didn't go to the dentist. She died in 2008. And then the first time I went to the dentist was this year, from 2008 to this year. And everything was wrong. So what happened was, okay, I was with my friend Echo and my friend Gracie. We were eating dinner. We were all having a good time and laughing. I cracked my tooth. I didn't tell them. I just put it in my bra. I still have it in a Ziploc bag. It lives in my purse. It's a weird choice I've made, but I can't take it out now. It's been too long. Went to the dentist. They were like, oh no, girl, you got to have your wisdom teeth pulled, a crown put on, and a root canal.
Oh.
And they did that all on the same day, and they didn't put me under.
No, no.
And I drove home, and I felt like a lunatic. I felt fully unhinged.
You did not drive home.
Well, they only gave me local anesthesia, so technically, legally, I could drive home. But trauma happened to me, and I was not having a good time. And now I have to take a Xanax every time I go to the dentist because I have PTSD.
Yes. When I, Nicole, got my wisdom teeth taken out, they also did local, and then they gave me the laughing gas, which was a little extra, but I wanted it.
Uh-huh.
And I put in some music, and I remember it was Beyonce, Crazy in Love. And then I'm a little out of it. I'm kind of like on cloud nine. I'm just somewhere up there. And then all of a sudden I feel the wisdom tooth come out, and I feel it go down my throat. And then I hear the dentist go, oh my God. Oh my God. It's down her throat. And the other one goes, well, what the fuck? Like, fuck, 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 fuck. And they're saying fuck like 20 times. I'm hearing them say fuck over and over again. And they get the suction thingy and they go down my throat. And I think it's hilarious. So I'm laughing. I'm going like while they're doing it. And then whenever I, you know, quote unquote, woke up, I mean, I was already up, but they didn't know how much I knew.
Oh my God.
And so they just went, hey, they're like, it's all done. Everything went amazing. And I didn't bring it up, but they didn't bring it up. And so they didn't know that I knew, but I knew. And Crazy in Love was playing the whole time. That's what I love.
How wild. How perfectly, truly wild. This gives me even more anxiety. Because I'm like, when you get, so I've only been like put under. So I had ankle surgery and they put me under, and I'm like, what happened while I was what happened?
That is scary. That is because you know that surgeons are freaks.
Yeah.
Because that's how they can do, like, the only way they can do the job that they do is that if they're freaks.
That's what it feels like.
Right?
I hope nothing terrible happened.
And we're, you know, I don't know. I'm sexy. You're sexy. I don't know. I'm just irresistible, even. I don't know.
I know. Yeah. I'm very irresistible. I hope they resisted me and didn't do anything. I can't believe a tooth went down your throat and they didn't tell you when you woke up.
No, they thought I didn't know that it happened. And yeah, I had a surgeon. So, you know, I'm trans or whatever, and trans, whatever, you know, whatever.
I'm Let's trans talk. Or whatever. Just, who fucking cares? Old God. News.
What does it even mean? And in today's world, what does that even mean? We're all going to die. It's like, it's 140 degrees. It's like,
Nori,
it doesn't matter.
I went outside to walk my dog.
No.
My dog did a U-turn and tried to go back inside. And I said, yes. You have to take a shit. Like, you have to. And then I had to drag him down the street. We found some shade. And then he was like, okay, fine. And he like shat real quick and then pulled me back to the house and was like, I can't be out here, bitch.
No.
But here, you go on with your story. I'm so sorry. I cut you right off.
No, that's my point is that being trans doesn't mean anything anymore because it's so fucking hot. It doesn't mean anything. But all I'm saying is that my surgeon who did my breast augmentation, he was a little bit of a pervert. I mean, like not in a way that made me ever – I never felt uncomfortable and I never felt like – unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I could tell that like a big part of what he does, like he likes boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like he likes boobs.
I mean, and I think that's a perfect, within reason, a perfect field to go in if you like looking at titties.
Yeah.
If you like looking at titties all day and you really like perfecting them, just don't be like super creepy, but you could just be like openly like, I really love curating and creating breasts for people so that they can go into the world and feel comfy cozy.
I feel like on career day, he took the test and it said, what do you like? And he said, I like boobs, titties to be exact. And then the test said, okay, I got a job for you. And it's to make people get good titties.
Did it hurt? I want.
No.
So I don't want them bigger. I just want them lifted and a little rounder. Also, maybe a little smaller. What I'm looking for is very small, perky, round boobies. Like right now, I'm like a 42 C or a 44 B, and I want to be an A.
An A?
Yeah, I want like, wow. I just want like little itty bitty perky titties that I don't have to wear a bra with.
You know what I call them? I call those tea time titties.
I want tea time titties. That's what I want.
I told the surgeon that. I said, you know what I want? I want tea time titties. And he went, I know exactly what you mean.
How big did you go?
I went D.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a husky lady.
We're the same size. Actually, I think you're smaller than me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have shoulders, like, just in terms of my frame. He wanted double D. Surprise. Okay. Surprise. He wanted giant titties on me. And I was like, no. I was like, we're going to go D's because I want tea time titties. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I get it. And I was like, I want them perky, but I want them dropped because I want them to look like God gave me these tea time titties.
Some big natties.
I didn't want the surge looked. I just wanted I wanted them to already have a droop. So that.
Okay.
But now that I'm, listen, a few years later, I kind of maybe wish I didn't get the pre-droop.
You know, yeah, because they do, gravity does take hold of titties.
Yes. I should have let God do what God was going to do and drop my titties because now they're double dropped.
Mm-hmm. Because they've dropped, but they're like still pretty small. Like when I lay on my back, I don't have titties. They go right into my body. They go bye-bye. But when I stand up, I'm like, oh no, they're a little droopy. I don't know. Now I'm like just touching my titties.
It's not a bad surgery. It's not a bad surgery. It's very easy. I was traveling a week after.
A week after?
Yes.
So the recovery is just a week?
Well, I said that
or
without
Nori,
really.
Were you just flying around fucking not listening to your doctors?
I just, right after I said that, I realized the reason why I traveled is because my dad was dying.
Oh, God.
But I forgot that part until after. That's why I was traveling.
How convenient. I'm making fun. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're just flying around town. What a dream for you to go. Actually, I was traveling because my dad was dying.
Yeah. Awkward. But the lady, the flight attendant helped me put my bag up. So.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. I'm sorry, my little titties. My little titties, I can't do it. My tea time titties. And she was like, oh, it's all good.
If you really said that, my hope is right now she's recanting that story to someone. She's like, this beautiful woman came on the plane and she said, I'm so sorry, my tea time titties.
My tea time titties.
They're recovering.
They make you wear a front bra so that it clasps in the front.
Oh.
And now that's all I want to wear because that was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I have two bras that clasp in the front, but there isn't enough fabric around the clasp where the clasp gets all out of like whack or whatever. Were you wearing one that was like, it has like a big thing in the middle, right? Like it has like
the
back
middle,
hooks
and then
in the middle.
And it's hooks. Yeah. Hooks and eyes in the middle. And there's like five of them. Oh. And then that's all you just do it. And then I was like, I want to wear this every day of my goddamn life.
Well, maybe you could find some.
I don't wear bras anymore.
You don't? with D's?
Maybe that's why the droop is drooping.
Oh, maybe.
I don't like bras. I don't like the feeling. I hate wearing bras.
Fair. I love wearing bras. Just because I get under titty sweat so much.
Oh, I do too.
And I can't deal with that. It gets too hot and moist and is very upsetting for me.
Yeah. I also have that. I do. Maybe I should get back into the bra game.
I mean, you don't have to. It's not a judgment. I think to each their own. Can I ask when you realized you were trans? Is that just a boring question that you don't wish to answer? Because you could say that because
it's okay.
I guess it really isn't interesting.
I will say this is a complicated answer because I think there's different levels of knowing. And because I grew up in a super Christian, super conservative town, literally called Christian County.
Yes.
So it's like hello, like in Kentucky. And also Bell Hooks is from there, which is really funny.
Oh.
Just me and Bell Hooks, that's it. everyone else racist. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sorry. If you live in Christian County, I'm so sorry. But you are racist.
It'd be very funny if someone listening was like, oh, she got me. I am.
Oh, damn. I love this podcast, but I am very racist. Yeah. I feel like growing up in that environment, you have to, like the parts of you that aren't safe to be in the world, you have to put that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of bury that somewhere deep. And so even though you can kind of feel it and it's like always there, you're not necessarily interacting with it. You're not connecting with that part of you. And that's traumatic. I mean, I have a lot of chronic PTSD from all the years of not being able to be who I am and having to be someone else. And so I did a soft launch, which was I came out as gay, as a gay man. That was a soft launch.
Okay.
You know, the product wasn't ready yet. We had to do like a...
some more focus testing and asking the people, what do we think about this?
Yes.
I get it.
But we worked so hard that we got to release something.
Mm-hmm.
We got to release something, but it's not ready yet.
Let's release the prototype, and then we'll have the final product ready in a couple months or maybe years.
And the prototype was a twink. So there was a twink prototype, and that twink was slutty and amazing and bitchy and funny and slutty. Did I say? I said slutty. Very slutty.
Yeah, so lots of slut. Double slut. Okay.
Double slut.
Love that.
And I lived in New York, so I was in New York and I was a gay man, Fire Island, Chelsea, all of that. And then I worked at Callan Lord, which is an LGBT health center it's all over New York now, but I was an HIV counselor. And so I worked a lot with trans women, and a lot of my clients were trans women, and, you know, a lot of my coworkers were trans. And that was my first kind of intimate relationship with trans people. And there was such an adoration and respect for all the trans people that I was interacting with that at a certain point I had to start to question, like, what is this? Because it's not sexual, and it's not – I have no – But there's just this deep, like, deep knowing and respect. And so I talked to a therapist. And, I mean, from there it started to come out that from, you know, just to myself that I'm not comfortable with my gender, that I'm not, you know, that I'm not a man. And I don't know what I am, but I'm not a man. I don't know what it is, but I'm not that. Like, whatever that is, that's not me. And I've never felt comfortable being like that. And so then non-binary was the middle part, and then very quickly from there it was like, no, I'm a binary, like, trans woman.
Mm-hmm.
And now today in my current life, I'm somewhere between trans woman and non-binary, because I don't wear bras. That's one thing. I quickly, in my transition, I'm so lazy, and I was like, all the things that they were asking of me, I was like, I'm not going to do that. Like
what, if you don't mind?
Oh, absolutely. I went to, there's a speech pathologist I was going to try to have a woman's voice.
Oh,
and
okay.
Her name was, I swear to God, Dr. Linda Fake.
That's pretty, by the way, funny. I love Linda
and
Fake.
I'm saying everyone's names. I should probably not be saying their names. But she wanted me to have like a Mad Men secretary voice.
Oh.
So she was like a 1950s secretary.
Oh, so it was a lot of transition stuff to help you pass.
Yeah.
But I mean, how do I phrase this? I feel like passing is such like a arbitrary, weird thing that it's like, what does it even mean to pass? Like, I remember being in the bathroom in Vegas and this very older male presenting, I think he was a man, walked in and he did his business. He came out. There was women staring at him and like whispering. And then he looked up and he went, oh my God. Oh, I'm so, and he was so apologetic. And I just looked at him and I said, gender's a construct. You're fine. Don't ever think about it again. You're fine. And he went, oh, thank you. And then he left. And I was like, what are we all doing to each other? Like, who cares what bathrooms we use? Who cares how people want to present themselves? Who cares if someone with a beard wants to wear a dress? Like, I think it's like, once you see it enough, you're like, oh, whatever. And I wish we could get there. I wish you could just be trans and speak how you want. Or
yeah, a lot of it is about safety. And like, you know, I feel like the updated word for passing is blending. I obviously, this is not a monolith. I'm not speaking for all trans people. I'm speaking for 99.9% of trans people. I'm just kidding. I'm just speaking for myself.
So that's most of them. Okay. All right.
But from my experience and what I've learned is like, you know, people want to blend in for safety. Like when I'm out in the world and I'm moving from point A to point B, I would like to get from point A to point B without being harassed or threatened or, you know, God forbid, like physical violence, like against me. And so a big part of my transition was wanting that experience. And for the most part now, I don't really get looked at in public. No one's actually, I got really fat and that was the best thing I could ever do for my transition, because now I just like, when you're a fat person, nobody's looking at, no, like, like I got fat and all of a sudden it was like, oh, no one's gonna anti-hate me.
Funny, the bigger you get, the more invisible you get to a point. And then once you cross that point, then people want to look at you as a spectacle. It is truly insane, because I was like 100 pounds smaller when I was like 19, 18-ish, 20. And I got a lot of attention because I wore a lot of tight things and people are always like hitting on me and shit. Then steadily gained weight. It was like, oh, I don't matter. I love it. And when I say I love it, it's sarcastic.
It's so real. When I I would say like at the beginning of my transition, I was young and I had youth and whatever, whatever. And I remember like I had just started wearing women's clothes. Like it was like the day. It was like the week I started wearing women's clothes and I looked exactly the same as I did as a boy, but just was wearing like shorts and like, it wasn't even like that gendered. It was just like, the point being, I just walked outside and immediately was catcalled and immediately men were like, hey, how are you? How are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like whatever. And I was like, this is insane. I haven't done any, like nothing is different except literally, I guess I'm wearing shorts and like, it was crazy.
Yeah. When I was smaller, I could literally be wearing a trash bag and men would be like, hey, it's also like I lived in New York and this is like, you go to the bodega or whatever and people like, won't leave you alone. That I don't miss.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes I do. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
It's complicated.
It's very complicated.
I feel the exact same way. I don't miss feeling threatened. But I do miss attention because I no longer – I was at Tartine. I now have a platform to talk about this. Thank God. This is a platform.
Get it off your chest, queen.
Have you ever been at Tartine in Silver Lake?
No. What is Tartine?
It's a very bougie cafe.
Okay.
Bougie and like very like industry and very like just bougie.
Okay. So,
I'm like, oh, I was having a good day. I was like, let me treat myself because I'm just having a really good day. I was in the area. I go to the fucking cafe. In front of me are two girls who must have been 16, 17, again, that age. Mm-hmm. And then they're wearing very, you know, like in trend, very like cool girl clothes. But it was kind of like a tube top. And like, they were just like very hot, like, you know, just like desirable young women to men. And the fucking the cafe guy, the manager was like full on flirting with them. Just like he had goo goo eyes. He was like giving them samples and they were laughing and they were like having this great time, right? You're smiling because you already know where this is going. Uh-huh. They They move along. I go and I'm like, hi. Like, just really like, let me get the same energy, right? Uh-huh. I swear to God, he looks at me like I had killed his favorite pet. And I was like, hey, what do you want? And I was like, oh my God. Like, it wasn't even like, it was just so clear. And so I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. I was like, I'll have a ham and cheese croissant and a latte, please. And he was like, okay, whatever. He's like, not making any eye contact, whatever, whatever. Ugh. I get my latte, no croissant. I wait. I go back to the guy and I go, hey, I just never got my ham and cheese croissant. And he goes, you didn't order that. And I went, oh no, I did. And he goes, no, you didn't. Like again, that kind of just mean,
oh my angry. God.
And then I just stared at him. At that point, I stepped into my power because I was just I was like, I'm done being a victim here. I'm just like, you know, I'm Nori Reed. Fuck this guy. So I just like stare at him. I just start staring at him. And he goes, and he looks at the computer and he looked up the transaction and goes, Oh, yeah, yeah, you did. You did get a croissant. Oh, and then he starts laughing. And he goes, you know, first day as a joke, because he's clearly it's not his first day. Mm-hmm. And I just kept staring at him and I didn't say anything for the rest of the interaction until I just left.
My God, how rude.
Tartine, make it right. Make it right, Tartine.
Yeah, make it right, Tartine. Get my girl a free croissant with ham and cheese.
Yes.
When things like that happen and my order gets messed up while someone was flirting with somebody else, I'll be like, what do you mean I didn't order that? I'm a very fat woman and I'm hungry. And then I've said the F word and they're like, oh, no, you're not. I'm like, I am. Give me my food. I will make a scene. I love making scenes.
And by the F word, you mean you say faggot. And then then they give you all the food you want. I do that too.
My God.
Sorry.
I just, real quick, we have to take a break. Ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there? Your name, contact info, social security number, and home address? Even information about your family members. Ooh, ah. All being compiled by data brokers and sold to the highest bidder online, leading to identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. Ring-a-ling. You can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exact information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. Receive regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. Imagine this. You go on a few dates with someone from a dating app and things don't click. You move on, but they don't. They start showing up at places you frequent, sending messages, and it becomes clear they found your personal information online. That's scary, right? I think so. Knowing my data isn't as exposed makes me feel a lot safer. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/date me and use the promo code date me at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/date me and enter the code date me at checkout. joindeleteme.com/date me. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. Booty boo 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 boo. We're back. I cannot believe how differently fat people are treated.
It's
in this
insane
world.
The anger, the hate. Yes. People are so mad at fat people for no reason. Yeah,
and then they love to be like, I'm just worried about your health. And I'm like, but like, my health is like, okay, you know, I take my little pills for, you know, things or whatever. I just, it's like, if you're worried about my health, like, that means you're in my business. Get out, you know? Get out of my business.
They're not worried. Oh, my God. No, they're not worried.
They're worried about you being aesthetically pleasing. And guess what? My body is not for your consumption, says the woman who wrote a book where she's in a bikini on every page. I went to Magic Mike in Vegas. I won't stop talking about this. Sashir got pulled up to sit on a piano and serenaded. Mateo Lane got the number of some guy, and I think they flirted and maybe something happened. I don't want to tell his business. I don't know. Who knows? I had to steal a glass because nobody would give me any attention at that show. And this was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I am still fucking pressed about it. Pressed. And then Magic Mike Live, I talked about it on Kimmel, and they reached out, and they were, because I guess it was a Kimmel, I don't know if you know this, Nori. Anyway, it was very fun, but you know, whatever. But they reached out via Instagram, and then I reached back out, and I've heard nothing. So Magic Mike Live has again dropped the ball with me.
They have to make it right. They have to make it right.
Yes, I need very hot, muscly men to slide all over me, and you need a ham and cheese croissant.
And I need ham and cheese croissants to slide all over me.
Can I ask you a question? Are you dating? Yeah. Are you on apps? Are you in a relationship? What does up?
Here's where I'm at. And this is probably the most vulnerable part of my life, because I feel like I'm in such control of all the parts of my life. Mm. And then dating is just a shit show because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm at the cross section of, like, you know, every marginalized identity ever. But here's my thing, you know, pre-pandemic, I was dating mm-hmm. and I moved to LA. I was dating, I was fucking, I was, you know, doing all the things. I even met someone through a housing ad to, like, try to get a room.
Oh.
And then the room didn't work out, but then we just fucked for a while.
I love that.
Isn't that beautiful?
I love it. That is honestly stunning.
Gorgeous.
What a dream.
And then the pandemic happened, and I just, you know, I have pre-existing conditions. I just felt utterly terrified mm-hmm. of connecting with someone physically. Like, it was mental for me in terms of, like, I still haven't had COVID.
You still haven't had it?
No. And I was getting tested, I mean, throughout the pandemic, continuously, routinely for work. So,
I mean, bravo. I finally got it in May of this year. I'll tell you something. Not fun.
Oh, my God. Was it bad?
I did not have a nice time. So it wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be. But there was one day where I couldn't get warm. I was just walking around my home in a blanket, in a sweater, in a sweatshirt, layers upon layers, no fever, no warm. I was just cold. And then I had a smoker's cough that was like starting to go away because I quit January 5th. But then I have a nice little cough from COVID. So it's, I honestly, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it was not fun. I'm back to like dodging it. Like I don't go inside without a mask on because I don't fucking want it again.
Terrified of it. I mean, I have terrible lungs. Like, you know, whatever. The point is that dating has definitely taken a toll from like the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I'm now finally in a place where I feel open and ready to start dating again. So that is where I'm at.
I love this.
My therapist is like, we have been like, talk about soft launch. Like, it's like, this is, this is the launch. Like it's happening. I haven't yet pulled the trigger on the dating apps and all that stuff. Cause I hate the apps, like deeply mm-hmm. in my heart, hate online dating.
I mean, they're bad. They're not good.
Not good. Not because people are, I hate people. I hate people. I think a normal conversation is boring. I don't mm-hmm. want to talk about your, you have a sister. I don't, why the fuck do I care that you have a sister? I don't know your sister.
Drew Michael has a joke where he's like, I don't want to date. I don't know you. I don't love you. Why do I have to go to dinner with you? I don't love you. I love my mom. I want to hang out with my mom. And it's such a funny joke. And every time I hear it, I'm like, yeah, what are we all doing? Just hanging out with people we don't know and love.
It's, I'm at a point where my friends now are just like, we can't be your like dates anymore. You know, because I feel like when you're not dating, your friends kind of become like a pseudo, like, you know, I haven't really articulated this ever.
Yeah, I'm taking Sashir to the Emmys. You know, it's like, yeah.
Your friends become everything, your family, your, and I feel like I'm at a point now where my friends are dating, their lives are moving along, and it's like, I got to start, you know, but who I'm attracted to has changed as well. Like,
ooh,
you know,
let's get into it. Yeah. What are you looking for?
Yeah. So before I was very much only into men, and through transitioning, definitely have, I would consider myself bisexual, pansexual, whatever that means. So gender just started to matter less and less. The older I got, the more mature I became, the more I realized, kind of like you were saying earlier, just how silly gender constructs are. And for something changed for me psychologically, where it's like, I truly could not care what the meat looks like in your pant, your pants meat.
Your pant meat, whether it be beefy curtains or solid sausage or whatever. I don't know. You can have
all
whatever.
Delicious.
Yeah.
All delicious.
I feel the same way. Although I don't put a label on it. I don't like the word pansexual. It's not appealing to me.
Oh, yes.
I don't like bisexual either, because that's, again, not appealing to me. Straight, embarrassing. Could never. I would never refer myself as that. It's weird. Just being like, no, straight and narrow. I only like, strictly dick. Like, it's insane. it's like people like that blow my mind every day, because I'm like, you've never opened a magazine or like watched a TV show and been like, wow, that person who's the same gender as me can really get it. We all think that.
Absolutely.
And I hear when people are like, my girl crush. And it's like, no, it's just a woman you find attractive. It really bothers me, because I do not think anyone is straight. I think we are all pansexual. What an awful word.
Awful.
I think we're all like, if we just stopped thinking about societal norms, we could just love who we want, you know?
I agree with that. Where I'm at right now is I have all this experience with men, and I don't really respect men, so it's easy to like date them, because I don't really care about the impact that I have on them.
Nori.
But then what? This is true. And then with women, I'm like, I actually love and respect and care about women. So I'm a little I'm like almost like scared and terrified of starting to date women because it means something. So, you know.
I think you saying that, whether it's a joke or not, means that this is a real treat and you should start dating women.
I know.
I think it's going to be good. Yeah, I really do. I don't know. I have like a couple of friends who have like explored their sexuality in the last couple of years, and I like, they've just been happier than I've ever seen them. And I'm like, yeah, let's all just live our lives and be happy. And if you have a little, you know, thought in the back of your brain, fucking listen to it, explore it, unless that little thought's like, let's murder.
Yes.
Because I've been watching this new show called The Patient. Have you seen it? It's on FX, also Hulu. So it's got Steve Carell and Domhnall Gleeson. I don't know. He's Irish and I love him. He is, if he's single and you know him, let him know that this big black lady is trying to bark up that red hair tree. Anyway, so... Oh, wait, I don't want to, like, give it away, but I think it gives it away in the trailer. I don't know. Steve Carell is, like, a therapist who's trying to help him, and then Domhnall, he's got secrets, and then Steve Carell's like, I don't know if I can help you, and then, you know, okay, I'm on episode 2, and I think it's really good. Also, Mike on Hulu is a really good show. I don't know why I brought these two shows up. What were we talking about before?
Oh, dating new genders, your sexuality changing.
And then I brought up a Hulu show.
Steve Carell. Steve Carell. That was the, no, I don't know.
What was I trying to say? I don't think I took my ADHD medicine today. Maybe I'm trying to say that Domhnall Gleeson is going to make me happy. I don't know. Nori, now I feel insane. We should take another break.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe.
And we're back. I still don't know what's going on in my little brain. Okay, Nori, when did you start doing stand-up? I've spoken nothing about your fucking career or stand-up or anything. So tell me about it.
It was in Oakland, California, and I was like a trans lady, and I was feeling like really disempowered in the interactions I was having in my life, and I was sick of all the stares and kind of just like not really enjoying that. And then I kind of I took a stand-up class, and then I was good at it, and people were laughing, and then I started to realize that when you're on stage, you have the mic and you're talking and people are just have to listen and they have to like to listen to you. And so it became a really empowering kind of thing for me where I got to like make fun of the cis people who were like being really dumb. And, you know, like I got to like roast and kind of like dumb, you know, kind of the people who are considered normal and I'm considered, you know, weird. And that became the process. And that was, I've been doing stand-up, I guess, for 5 or 6 years.
I saw you at a show in a parking lot, you know, because that's how we're doing them right now.
Yes.
Or how we were doing them. And you were wearing this lovely, like,
fluffy white peasant top and these really cool like loose straight leg jeans that were like a lighter wash. And I said, I love this. And you're on stage and someone said something like it was kind of like a like not a harsh heckle, but it was a heckle. And you were like, I'm up here. I have the mic. I'm sorry. Did you want to speak? You can't because I'm up here. And I just loved it. And you like really leaned into it. And I was like cackling in the back. A joy to watch you on stage. You're so funny.
Thank you. I've gotten to the point now where people are like writing about my comedy, which has been fascinating because I've never been able to put a finger on what I, because since I'm the person performing, I don't really know what I'm doing. But then someone wrote that I'm a dom.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm a comedy dominatrix. And I never really thought that, but that's so true.
I love that. A comedy dom. Ooh.
Yeah. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's kind of like a roasting. Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy that kind of dynamic with the audience. I like to kind of create tension and aggression a little bit. Because here's the thing. Can I say this?
Yes.
Something I try to fight against, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, is pity. Because sometimes I'll get on stage and I'll share something that I think is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then some white cis lady goes, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks that she's like the humanitarian of the year. And then she's like helping me. And what she doesn't know is that's the biggest heckle you could ever fucking do because it's funny. And it's a funny thing that happened. And if you would just be open and trusting that if I'm up there talking about it, I want you to laugh. And so I guess a part of me creating tension and almost fighting with the audience is a way to like get away from that like pity.
It is interesting how an audience will pity you because society tells them that you're like less than and you're sad and whatever. Like, I've been on stage, and I was trying to figure out some fat jokes, and every time I said I was fat, people go, aw, and I was like, wait, what is happening? I was like, I didn't say I was ugly. I didn't say, like, I hated myself. I'm just saying an attribute that you can actually see. So it's funny, whenever, like, a fat woman has a stand-up clip where she's like, people love to say you're not fat, you're beautiful. People go, someone stole your joke. I'm like, no, every single fat woman has that joke. There's just a different ending to the joke because that's what we have to deal with. So it's like, write what you know. But there was one time I said something about being fat and there was like consistent awes in the audience. And I finally was like, what's wrong with you people? You can see it, right? Am I crazy? I'm fat. I'd be in therapy right now if I didn't think it was okay to talk about. I wouldn't have left my fucking home after nightfall. Like I just started screaming because I was like, what is happening?
I was like, I'm on a goddamn stage right now with lights and a microphone. Like,
yeah. And the punchline is me fisting my fat rolls. Like, how are you awing at that? What on the earth? I've stepped away from doing stand-up for a little bit because it got to be so overwhelming because I was like, I toured like every weekend of 2019 and I would like kind of go on autopilot sometimes, but then sometimes I would get heckled in a way where I was like, do you know what it took to get to this part of fucking Florida?
Oh, yes.
I got on two planes to get here. And now you're going to talk through the fucking show. I would like lose my mind a little bit. And this one man on Twitter was like, she's a bad sport. Like, we were all just here for a good time. And I was like, sure. But like, I prepared material. And that's when I was like, maybe I gotta rethink what I'm doing. Because it is part of it.
Something I've been doing recently, I relate to that so much. And recently what I've been doing is if an audience is like a polite audience where they're listening and they're not laughing, they're just like listening and they're sitting there staring at me like fucking idiots. What I do is I go, guys, I literally can't bomb tonight. I'm like, what you don't understand is emotionally, I can't do it. And if you don't start laughing, I might do something. And I'm not saying what I'm going to do, but it's going to be bad. And I may not come back from what happens. And then so I threaten them with my life.
Threaten them.
And then they immediately, guess what? Oh, they're laughing.
They're laughing. They're tee-hee-heeing. They said her life depends on it. We better start laughing.
All you have to do is threaten to hurt yourself and people will do anything. It's crazy. It's wild.
It is wild. Also, not real advice. Lately, people have been a little confused on what are jokes and what is real.
That's a joke. That was a joke. No, no, please don't do that. Don't do that.
No, it's fine. In the comments, they'll say fun things, and I go, oh boy, what a treat. Yeah, comedy is such like a wild thing. Can you tell me about working on Raven's Home? It's a multicam, right?
Yeah, it's multicam, classic sitcom. Yeah.
What is tape night like? Probably wild. People love Raven Simone.
Well, unfortunately, because of the pandemic, we don't have a live audience, which is just sad. I mean, it's honestly, I'm very sad about that. Mm. But we're on set. I mean, we're there. We're laughing. We're definitely, you know, the writers, we're all kind of, we're pitching jokes whenever something doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's been really cool. I mean, I never saw myself working on a multicam, and it's been interesting to like, I've definitely walked away with a lot of respect for it and a lot of it's hard and it's definitely an art form, and it's been really cool to learn about the ins and outs of a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've only done one multicam. It was a show that was on ABC Family when before that became Freeform. That's how old I am, a dinosaur. And, we did this one scene where we got through it. The audience really liked it. They were ha ha ha. And then we went for a second take and I just changed my delivery. And the director was like, we're doing this a third time. Don't change it again. And I was like, what? Why? He's like, because we're timing it for the edit or whatever. And he's like, and when you do something new, the audience laughs longer. They laugh shorter when they know what's going to happen. And I said, oh. So then we did it a third time, and I did a third different take because I was like, you're not going to stop my ha-has. I'm a bad multicam actress because I want my instant gratification.
It's like there's so many rules and that people don't know about. Like Raven definitely is such a mentor to a lot of the other actors who are on set and really helps them learn kind of what it is to be on like a Disney sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
She truly is a comedic genius. Like just watching her work, she is a genius.
Yeah, I think she's very funny. And sometimes I'm like, maybe I want to do a multicam because it's big. It's broad. And it is fun.
We're hungry for it.
I love. It's funny, as much as like I'll fight with an audience or get mad that they want to talk to me or whatever, it's like I love audiences and I love performing. Okay, Nori, I have a question.
Yes.
Would you date me?
Yes.
Okay. I love it. I love it. You said yes in a way that like I felt really stupid for asking the question.
Why?
Well, I ask all my guests that question, and you really seemed angry that I even asked. You were like, yes. That was a funny yes. I liked it.
I think I know you're not asking me to go deeper, but if I may.
Sure.
I just, I think there's something so beautiful when like two fat women date each other. Have you seen it?
I have.
Oh my God. It's so beautiful. I knew this couple in Oakland and they're both very fat and they're like, just their life looked like they just go out and they eat and they like, they laugh. They make each other laugh so much and they're so in love. And like, I was like, and they like share clothes and I was like, wait. Oh. I was like, that's the answer.
That is the answer. Your wardrobe doubles?
Yes.
And you have someone to just eat with?
Just to eat with.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm really thinking this over. Okay, well, Nori, we have come to the end. I truly could talk to you all day long. You're Aww. Just a fucking delight. I think you're so funny and so talented. Do you have, like, a website where you put your stand-up dates for the people to come see you if they live in L.A.?
The best thing is my Instagram. I always post all my stories, like, when the next shows are. So follow me on Instagram for all the show info.
Tell them what your Instagram is.
My Instagram is Nori Reed. It is my name.
Very easy, very breezy. Do you have anything you want to promote?
Now streaming on Showtime, I'm in Alan Cumming Presents a Queer Comedy Extravaganza, which features incredibly funny queer comics, and I'm one of them.
Yes. Watch that on Showtime. And if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it or whatever. I don't know. Subscribe. Can you do that on Apple Podcasts? I don't know. Leave me a 5-star review. That's nice. But if you want to hit on me saying something really fucking nasty, you can write it to Why Won't You Date Me Podcast @gmail.com. Mars, my producer, is the one who goes through it, not me. So do not send her dick pics. She does not want them. Okay, this nice person said, Nicole, I want to take you on a mini golf date. Instead of playing on the regular course, we'll find a hidden place where you can sit on the ground. I love sitting. And I could put the balls right into your pussy. Whenever I get one in, you shout, awooga, that's a hole in one. when we finish, we'll go to your place, pop them balls out of your puss. I have to keep them in me and sell them to perverts on the dark web. We'll use the profits to buy our own mini golf course and renovate it so all the holes are replicas of your holes, and we'll charge people an arm and a leg to put their balls into your puss. We'll both become multimillionaires and live happily ever after. What a treat, what a dream. Honestly, what a great business venture.
That was amazing.
If you have a proposal, send that to the email. Okay, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.